Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten, my truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed. When indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah! Yes. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, and I thank the Most High. Truly, I do. I thank the Most High that we are back again for another episode. Another very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this very, very precious opportunity. Be back with you here again to speak these very precious, precious words. The Most High has granted for the healing of our people. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I must tell you things, yes, that indeed I must tell you things, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. And I dare say to you, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has told me things that I must speak to you that expose so many of the illusions, so many of the deceptions that for so long have blocked the minds against discerning the pure, perfect righteousness of his everlasting will. Yes, I said that I'm thankful for this opportunity to be back with you here again. I believe last time we did the show here at Hidden Gospel, last time we did the show, we might have had a little bit of static, might have had a little bit of, I think that what some people told me, there was a little bit of breakup in the transmission. Hopefully tonight that has been remedied. Hopefully we're being heard loud and clear. If anybody can let me know, I'd appreciate that. Because I do have a very important message I'd like to deliver tonight. Y'all willing? Our people desperately need it. I know it. When last we did the show, it was with regard to some things the Most High told me, especially with Passover now approaching. And yes, I hope somebody will let me know that, like I said, wherever we are being heard, that the transmission is as clear as it can be. Last time, like I said before, we went online. I was in the midst of the beginning of a storm, and had a big storm this morning. Some of you may have heard what's been happening in Houston. I had to do a little work with the provider, to try to see what we can do about getting the transmission as clear as we could for tonight. Prayerfully, that has worked. Y'all willing, this word be heard, and I pray that many of you who do hear this message, whether it's live or whether it's in the archive, you let others also know that it has been spoken. Because our people desperately need this message that I heard very recently, last few days. Heard, in fact, within minutes or so after the last show, which I related very strongly, sought that it be understood among our people that, no question about it, my brothers and sisters, with Passover approaching, our people need to be very, very, very careful. The scriptures in 1 Corinthians, and it's kind of obvious when we read 1 Corinthians very closely, and in so many ways, it was a letter written by the apostle Shaul. It was a letter, I repeat, written by the apostle Shaul to people in the city of Corinth and wherever that message might have been taken. In preparation for Passover, so I saw it on last show, a very timely message with regard to much was written in the book of 1 Corinthians that needed to be addressed. I related very heavily that the book of 1 Corinthians, even 2 Corinthians does the same, relates that there's a need that we, in the name of the Most High, 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 11, seek peace in his name. In fact, my brothers and sisters, I dare say to you, unless we seek the pure, perfect will of the Most High and the peace that gives glory to his name, we have failed. I say, unless we seek that pure, perfect peace, that is the pure, perfect, complete fruition of all that he revealed to all his people under one choice, unless we have a devout intent to seek that fullness, we fail, my brothers and sisters, the love for the Most High that he requires of a people whose allegiance is true unto him. He said, if you love me, I spoke about this before. He said, if you love me, keep, which means to guard, maintain, and defend his commandments, his conscience, his instruction. Well, we got 45,000 denominations today all saying something different, making it quite evident that men have not truly guarded to keep, maintain, and defend the pure, perfect knowledge of his peace, his conscience, his command. For it is because men have not preserved the perfect integrity of the scriptures, the perfect integrity of divine conscience as declared, as Most High revealed by the scriptures with the sure assistance of his spirit, because men have not been true to that perfect word. And we see all the differences we see among us today. We see all the quarrels that exist among us today. It's amazing. Many of us have not really given full consideration what the Most High really sees in the midst of the Shabbats and the feast days. And my brothers and sisters, what he also sees in the midst of the heathen days that men have gathered together in, saying in all their differences, making claims that in all their differences, that they somehow have been true to the will of one. Well, true to the worship of one. Think about it. All these different so-called temples and churches and synagogues and mosques and ashrams and whatever they call these various temples. Men, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think. So-called every kind of religiosity you would talk about in this world. The main three people speak about oftentimes are, you know, Judaism, they call some say Christianity. How about Messianic Hebrewism? Islam, I'm on the primary. I want you to think about something. My brothers and sisters, I want you to think about something. In all these institutions of man, men in each one of these buildings. Each one of these buildings, men are teaching their brand of doctrine. Each one concerned about personal pulpits and thrones, much more than they're concerned about the full unification, reunification, reconciliation, healing of a people under the conscience of the one Most High. Quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, this has been gross error. In other words, what I'm saying to you, and the Sabbaths and feasts, men have taught their own variant partialities. Therefore, arguing one against another as to which one is righteous. And my brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is that if all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of what truly honors the Most High completely, then none of the standards that men have upheld, my brothers and sisters, is true unto genuine salvation, are proving one's steadfastness, firmity, under the will of Yah. All the prophecies relate, my brothers and sisters, that it's not going to be just some institution of man, that men just rise up and awaken to that conscience. All prophecies relate, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has one that he has chosen, specifically for that purpose, that there might be the regathering of our people. The ancient concept of the one called Shiloh that's written in Genesis 49. About reading 49:1, then 8 through 12. Talking about the one out of the tribe of Judah who would regather the people, a shepherd to our people. A lawgiver to our people. One who, according to the scriptures, must bring to remembrance so much that among the nations we have forgotten. Think about it. In the book of Corinthians, to the church at Corinth, we're talking about a territory that the people had to learn how to do what the Messiah said you must do if your allegiance is unto him. Think about it. He said, if you love me, keep, certain word for guard, maintain, and defend my commandments. How about his instructions? My brothers and sisters, 45 different doctrines or denominations, all teaching something different, moving in different directions under different leaders, is not that pure, perfect conscience. Think about it. 2,000 years ago, there were the doctrines of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, the Essenes in Israel, and all the various doctrines of all the various false gods among the nations. My brothers and sisters, Messiah came to reconcile the people after the will of one, and that's why they had on the day of Pentecost, or the day of Shavuos, the day of the Feast of Weeks, the people were to gather together, my brothers and sisters, having even preparing, as Messiah had told them, for the receiving the gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Comforter, the promise from on high. That the people's minds might be reconciled as one. Think about it, relating that it's not possible that men all think together as one in the high conscience of the Most High after which we were intended. Not after the flesh, my brothers and sisters, but only by the gift of the Spirit. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. My brothers and sisters, meaning when the scriptures say to us, talking about seeking peace, comfort ye, all my people. Let us understand what it really means. Like I said, I spoke about last show about how the book of Corinthians, or the letter of the book of Corinthians to the church of Corinth, was primarily about our people being restored to the pure, perfect will of one, being a territory that had been under much cross-reference, if you will, influence. Eastern and Western, in the area that was called Asia Minor. There was a need, my brothers and sisters, when Messiah said, think about it. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, guard my commandments. He was talking about in the midst of a hostile environment, maintain the integrity of a pure, perfect word beyond all worldly intrusion. My brothers and sisters, it's obvious that the world has not done this. It's obvious that the adversary has stuck his worthless sense in. Wherever it is, the Most High has sought to bring holiness over the course of generations. The adversary, my brothers and sisters, where men did not have enough, let's just say, diligence. I said enough diligence to discern fully enough of the word of the Most High to guard against the intrusions of illusion. So we see all the differences we see today. So we need to understand what those scriptures are talking about, and we need to talk about this, you know, rather thoroughly. At Isaiah 40, it says, comfort ye, O my people. It's talking about seeking perfect peace, what he is declaring to his people. We must do. Must understand the concept of seeking peace. I said the concept of seeking peace, my brothers and sisters. There's a concept of seeking all that is a pure, perfect rest. In seeking, my brothers and sisters, beyond all obstacles, unto discerning. But one way of the one Most High, after which there is no more contradiction. I spoke before, my brothers and sisters, yes. I spoke before about seeking eternal life as a matter of seeking a word, a conscience, without contradiction, true to the will of the one Most High. That is the nature of eternal life. So when Scripture says, comfort ye, O my people, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 40 and 1, and we do need to examine that Scripture also in the context of, how about Micah 3 and 2, Mark 1:14 through 15, and yes, I want to get to that, Luke 13th chapter and Acts 3:18 through 23. I want to look at all of that. I want you to think about something. The scripture says, comfort ye, O my people. Repent ye, O my people. Like I said in Micah 3 and 2. We've spoken about this before. The word in Hebrew for comfort ye is nachem. In the Greek, if you want to use those texts, the word is metanoia. In every case means that we must seek beyond ourselves. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? In every case, it means, one of the meanings, that we must seek beyond ourselves. And repentance actually relates, if we look at Jeremiah in the 30th through 31st chapter, it talks about our people returning to the Most High even by the way that we went away. How about returning to him, my brothers and sisters, returning to him past all the multitude of variant misallegiances after which we have been ensnared. Since many generations ago, our people turned away from the perfect will of the Most High to arrive at the many fallen standards and misallegiances that we see in the world today. Most of us have not considered, my brothers and sisters, the implications of the fact that man, when the scripture says Most High breathed in him into the breath of life, man was created as an anointed being. I repeat, do you hear me, my brother? It says man was created as an anointed being. He was told that if he turned away from the Most High, how about turn away from the Spirit of the Most High, that he would begin to surely die. How about turn away from, or let's say depreciate or degrade away from that word without contradiction? And my brothers and sisters turned away from the very principle of life that has no contradiction in it. This man was warned of. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. And while man became prideful, I want you to understand, while man became prideful after a multitude of fallen standards, unwilling to admit that he had fallen away from the path of life and peace, rulers, putting upon men the supposition that yet that they knew the way, have caused many, my brothers and sisters, to become prideful, self-righteous, stubborn, unwilling to allow the Most High to present again to the mind a form of discipline necessary to return fully unto him. So when the scripture said, repent ye, O my people, comfort ye, O my people, it's talking about returning to the Most High fully after fully, my brothers and sisters, that which the Most High intended from the very beginning, that all the warfare and the quarrels among us might cease. I want you to understand, Messiah said it well when he said, I make no request for the world. In other words, those who are satisfied with the multitude of contradictions. This world has no consummate concept of divine authority. He said, I make no request for the world. I'm talking about Yohanan, John 17:8-9. I make no request for the world, but for those thou hast given me. Even said those who would receive and accept his word. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, for those who would accept his instruction, believe, being according to the ancient promise, the one called Shiloh, King of Kings, and Shashan-Shah. Believing that he has the testimony from high, from on high, after which all people, the scripture said, who are faithful, I said, seeking the will of one, might turn from their sins. How about their separations due to a multitude of partial and imperfect allegiances? Might return to the will of one. Messiah did not give his life for men to remain in unbelief. And trust me, if any man believes that the multitude of contradictions we see in the world today, I repeat, if any man believes that the multitude of contradictions that we see in the world today are a work of the Holy Spirit, and men who think after such patterns, my brothers and sisters, cannot be saved. They cannot be disciples unto the Most High. You must know that the massive contradictions that we see are the result of a massive falling away. The Most High is not personified or identified by a multitude of man's misallegiances and misconceits. He is not identified by the multitude of man's illusions and deceptions that prevent him from seeing fully what is the fruition of human conscience according to all that which the Most High has intended. So we must understand, when those scriptures say, comfort ye, O my people, in other words, seek peace, seek all that is his perfect will. It talks about, repent ye, O my people, for the kingdom of Yah's hand is at hand. The kingdom of Yah is not according to all the varying standards of the nations. There are no multitude of national, as some people say, national Jesuses, after which men might be forgiven, according to a multitude of varying standards of misruling men. The very concept anciently of king, of one who is a king and an anointing, my brothers and sisters, the spirit after which he followed had a direct relationship. There's a reason why the scriptures talk about in Revelation 16:12-21 that all the kings of the earth and their unclean spirits would have to be overcome by one called the King of the East. It is still talking about that same one, my brothers and sisters, that is mentioned at Isaiah 40. How about Isaiah 40? We talk about Isaiah 40 here when it says, comfort ye, O my people. It says, the kingdom of Yah is in hand. How about the king? How about the king that would gather all the people together as one, saying, keep silence and listen to me, O ye isles, hearken to me, O ye nations. Wow. Meaning, hearken to him whom the Most High has called as Prince of Peace, to restore all that is divine conscience again to mankind. That men repent and return to the Most High beyond all the, let's just say, whatever path after which men have gone over the course of ages, after a multitude of misallegiances and misrepresentations, Babylonish confusion, men must return to the will of Yah as he declared human purpose from the very beginning, that there might again be peace and that all the quarrels among us might cease. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah, in the 41st chapter, it talks about the one called the righteous one likened to the rising sun. It means he comes suddenly, my brothers and sisters, to bring forth the light the world would obscure. Some scriptures call him the morning star. The one who brings forth the light the world would obscure, to cast out all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure. To expose all those, my brothers and sisters, who are still yet the shadows of darkness, who would hide the truth from you. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, we must see beyond every mockery against that perfect identity. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, it's time we understand and realize the reality that we must again awaken to. For in Isaiah, the 41st chapter, it speaks of how my brothers and sisters, the Most High will speak to his people, saying, "Fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim." How about the one who would restore your conscience under all the precepts necessary, my brothers and sisters, cumulative precepts necessary that we have peace? For the Most High is all in everything that he is. Precept with precept is precept. Concept with concept is concept. Word with word is word. Line upon line, precept upon precept. With a measuring line like an overflowing, even my brothers and sisters, restoring all that has been forgotten for so long like an overflowing torrent. Please read Isaiah 28 and understand, my brothers and sisters, that only those who seek that pure and perfect foundation will be found true to the one Most High. Isaiah 35. My brothers and sisters, we need to understand what these scriptures are saying altogether. First scripture in Isaiah 40 said, "Be not dismayed, I am with you." In other words, "I will be with you to strengthen you, I will help you, I will heal you, and I will hold you," he said, "with my right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 35 say, "I'm with you to save you." Savior is coming to save you. Even God, the Holy One, the Savior, my brother and sister, even the one who comes to avenge his name against all those, my brothers and sisters, who would stand against the pure, perfect will of his righteousness and peace. So I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's something very, very critical that must be understood. No one who can believe that a multitude of contradictions, or who wants to believe a multitude of compromising contradictions against the pure, perfect will and discernment of the identity of the Most High, no one, my brothers and sisters, who wants to believe that a multitude of contradictions is the work of the Holy Spirit can guard the sanctity of the Holy Name. No one who wants to believe that a multitude of contradictions is the work of the Spirit will ever understand Yah purely and perfectly as he is. And his very name means that he is the great I Am that I am, not as men have imagined, not as anything that he is not, or any precept that he is not, but he is his word. My brothers and sisters, it's time that we understand and seek to discern perfectly the will of the Most High as he is. So many of the quarrels that exist among our people is because, though many would like to flatter, even fatally flatter the masses, my brothers and sisters, so much of the contentions that exist amongst us, so much warfare that has been amongst us, so much bloodshed that has been amongst us, because men have chosen to pretend they know the Most High as he is, rather than collectively come to the realization that we have not discerned him fully as we should, have not understood, my brothers and sisters, or chosen to realize and understand the concept of the ancient promise of the one called Shiloh, who the scripture says would regather our people. Malachi says even that he would cause our people to remember so much of what for a long time has been forgotten. Isaiah 46, 8 through 13 says the same. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. Scripture didn't say that anyone else but Messiah himself would awaken our people to understand our purpose. He said, "I make no request for the worldly." In other words, no request for men to receive the Spirit of the Most High that they might be one, if they had no desire for that ultimate oneness to the glory of the Holy Name. Yohanan 14:6, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father unless he come through by me." Many of my brothers and sisters, we must seek to discern his way. Must seek to discern all that by his Spirit he would reveal as truth. That we might, my brothers and sisters, have atonement, agreement with the Most High. Please also understand. He said, "If you love me, keep guard and maintain." Desire to keep guard and maintain the integrity of a holy word. And he said, "I'll reveal myself to you." In other words, he says what he had revealed and would reveal. Desire to preserve it in its integrity. And he would give the Holy Spirit. Why should he give his Spirit to those who would corrupt and twist and pervert what they are granted, so as to appease themselves and therefore create all the more divisions in the world, using his name, therefore, for personal priorities? seeking, my brothers and sisters, even causing the people to go to the various churches, if you will, not to seek the fullness of the will of Yah, that they might guard his perfect will against those who would pervert and twist. But it caused a lot of folks just simply to go to the churches, just simply to entertain themselves, to seek selfish self-assurance after those who themselves, my brothers and sisters, are not an assurance. In other words, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I ask the Father for the Spirit of truth, which the world would not receive. He said he would ask the Father for the Spirit of truth that teaches all things, no lie in it, that we might guard, discern and guard and seek, guard, defend the purity of all the Most High himself declares, seeking his will for totally unselfish, my brothers and sisters, reasons, that our people might indeed be healed again as one. And the only way that peace can ever come is that we are willing to seek all that is his will. Each one. What did he say to the disciples? Go forth and teach all nations everything he declared. That means everyone has an obligation to hear all the Most High declared. There be no more contentions among our people. Well, I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, something very beautiful that I heard from the Most High after the last show that I did out here on Blog Talk Radio. For as I spoke during that show, Most High made it very imperative. But we must understand, if we're going to have a holy feast unto him, and the days approach very, very quickly now, Passover, we're going to have Matt, quickly. Okay, hopefully we're back online. Okay, hopefully we're back online and everybody can hear. We were disconnected for just a moment. If we are being heard, that's great. I need to continue on with the show. It appears that we are back online. That's great. That's great. I don't know what would cut us off for that moment, but thankfully we're back. Like I said on the last show, Most High made it evident that if we're going to have a holy feast unto him, I said that if we're going to have indeed a holy feast unto him, there's a need that we discern fully and completely what must be taught in the feasts. If we argue against that fruition in any way, or want to continually speak the illusions that have prevented us from seeing these greater truths, then my brothers and sisters, what we offer unto the Most High in the times that are supposed to be a memorial, I said a memorial celebration unto him, I said a memorial celebration unto his word, his will, and his desire for our people. If we do not seek that fruition, then, my brothers and sisters, we've forsaken the very reason for the feasts, the Sabbaths of the Most High. Yeah, we've forsaken even the reason for observing these things at all. I've talked to you about before how the Most High, the very word Shabbat means that we must seek the peace of the Most High, rest of the Most High. How about completion in his will? It all means the same thing. The Most High told Pharaoh through Moshe to let his people go, that they may keep a feast unto him. It wasn't after the thoughts of Pharaoh. Our brothers and sisters, we must let go, discern and let go of every lie that has acted as an obstacle against the awakening of our people to purpose. We must, my brothers and sisters, return and discern. My brothers and sisters, even all that truth that it was written in advance that the leaders would not speak of, so as to preserve the differences amongst us and preserving their various pulpits and thrones. We must learn to speak again fully what is the gospel expectation. I can only say, my brothers and sisters, if this is our desire, We must be willing to seek the truth that puts to shame every fallen standard. That Yah, indeed, have his way. And I'm telling you now, he will have his way. He will bring forth the people that are willing to become fully in all things what from the beginning he intended. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High told us in advance. I will tell you again, he told us in advance what would be the condition. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? He told us in advance would be the condition of our people in the time of the great regathering that is to come. We're told in advance there'll be many quarrels and differences amongst us. But he also told us, my brothers and sisters, he would heal us again as one. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High told me after the last show, when I sought to make it very, very much so, or let's just say bring forth a true revival, to understand just how imperative it is, that we discern that in the feast of the Most High, we must seek to come to him, humbling ourselves under one accord. Like on the Day of Atonement, if the people didn't come together to come in one accord, hey, Most High, for a time, allowed the people to see the repercussions of walking outside of cooperation and harmony with him. And so anything could have happened that year. It could have been bad crops coming the next year. Could have been some manner of plague. Could have been something that burned out and destroyed the crops. People suffered. Most High said he would protect and defend his people if they sought to do what was right before him. They're willing to reason together, seek all the reasoning for all the Most High declared. Seek discerning, my brothers and sisters, that only to know what is said and why it is said is to avoid missing the point. Like I said, if we know what's written and don't understand why it's written and what's the overriding priority in all things said, how can we say that we kept his command? People take scriptures all the time and twist them according to their own agendas. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, is an incomplete work. And a multitude of incomplete works, my brothers and sisters, is not the finished work of Yah, not for his people, because he said we must all know him. He related that our people must be raised up in Zephaniah, 3:13, to speak no lies, do no iniquity, hey, no deceptive tongue in any mouth. He said that is the people that you regard and defend, that no harm come to them. Well, my brothers and sisters, what I heard is, yes, I know that there are those who are under the spells or the marks of the beastly who won't seek to reason together fully. But my brothers and sisters, did you hear what I said earlier? The Most High told me that we ought to be reminded that he knew in advance would be the carnal condition of our people, scattered among many nations, scattered among many denominations, under all manner of variant rulers, rulers who would never speak concerning how Messiah truly is to appear in these latter days, would not speak to you about what I call, in fact, I made sure that in the intro to this show, that I wrote about an article on my website, hiddengospel.com, one called Prophetic Proof, another one called The Secret City, so relating the Secret City prophecies. My brothers and sisters, the prophecies actually relate how Messiah shall appear. And the scripture says he shall appear before men realize it. At first, to warn mankind regarding so much truth that men for so long, I said to warn mankind regarding so much truth that for so long humanity has ignored. On my website, hiddengospel.com, I relate so much of that truth, the Secret City Prophecies. My brothers and sisters, also, not only the Secret City Prophecies concerning that city from which the scripture said Messiah would appear, but also, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah is according to the prophecies and who the early church knew him to be, relating this, my brothers and sisters, is not the second appearance or second advent of Messiah, but what obviously, according to Scripture, when you look at it collectively together, must have been relating, my brothers and sisters, that the second appearing, a second advent of Messiah, was actually 2,000 years ago. This latter day appearing to bring forth all that was prophesied of him before he appeared, 600 years before Yeshua, 2,000 years ago. And my brothers and sisters, relating who the early church knew Yeshua to be, you can't really understand the prophecies and the fullness of their context, my brothers and sisters, till you understand so much of what's written, for instance, in Isaiah 45. And all that was prophesied before Messiah appeared 2,600 years ago, concerning also at Isaiah 53 what he would do, what he did 2,000 years ago. And what the prophecies finally said, if you read all the prophecies actually in the book of Daniel, concerning what was the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire and its fall, and present, even leading up to these present times, what, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the years pretty much add up to right about now. What would be Messiah's purpose? The fruition that he would come to bring fully to bear in these latter days. If you don't understand what he did 2,600 years ago, and don't understand that that is, that Yeshua is that one who came 2,600 years ago. And again, 2,000 years ago. If you don't understand that, my brother and sister, you will hardly understand what he comes to do in these last days and what to prepare for. One of the simplest ways I try to help people understand who the early church knew Messiah to be is in looking at the scriptures, for instance, in Revelation 22:16, when he said, "I am the wood and offspring of David, the bright morning star." You need to understand who was called by that title before Yeshua came 2,000 years ago. Luke 1:78 calls him the horn of David. How about wood and offspring of David? One out of the horn of David, or the plenty of David, if you will. And bright morning star, relating sunrise, as you'll find, day spring from on high, a sunrise related at one likened to the rising sun. How about king, righteous one likened to the rising sun who comes suddenly? I said at Isaiah 41, Revelation 16:12, Messiah is called the king of the east, before whom comes the drying up of the rivers, or the mindscapes of all the rulers, proving them foolish. Like I said, 178, Luke 1:67, Luke 1:19 through 21 of 2 Peter, 2 Kepha. You need to look at those scriptures of Messiah's called again in those texts, my brothers and sisters. One called the morning star. I need to put that together, my brothers and sisters, understand that the apostle was speaking of Yeshua and he related him on those terms. There's a need to understand, my brothers and sisters, Messiah said he would give to those who seek all righteousness the morning star. How about the light that exceeds all the darkness? There's a need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that Malachi and Zechariah both spoke of Messiah's return, the one that was called the Son of Righteousness that arises. Zechariah 3:8, 6:12, where he said branch, the word for branch is also rising sun. As you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, like I said, Revelation 16:12, Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 calls the one called, actually the righteous title, the king of Kurdistan was called the Kurdi, called the shepherd. That means he would regather the people, like Shiloh. Scripture said he would set Jerusalem upon a foundation of peace. Meaning he would establish peace. And the only way you do that, you have to bring people beyond all the things that cause their quarrels. I need to examine that, my brothers and sisters. Philippians 2nd chapter, Romans 14th chapter, speak of Messiah as one before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. But you go back to Isaiah 45 and look around the 20th verse. The scriptures talk about that same one that he called his anointed, that all might know from the rising sun to the west, one end of the world to the other, and every nation that there's only one pattern after which the Most High will find reason to preserve the human soul. In other words, that there's one Lord. In other words, when people say I've heard people say, may the Lord be with you. Well, understand the concept. May he who opens the mind to all that is divine conscience be with you, and you not be cut off after anyone who is short, let's just say, dull down or blind your mind to exalt what is still yet deception rather than perception and reception of the greater truth. My brothers and sisters, when we understand and even put those things together, let alone the scriptures talk about one called the King of the Medes. The one who called the King of the Medes also bore that title some 600 years before Yeshua. Scripture said he would destroy according to Jeremiah. We need to read all really from the 48th chapter of Jeremiah through the 51st. He said that one would destroy Babylon once and for all. My brothers and sisters, how these all come together. So that one called the King of the Medes, before whom you say he would dry up the rivers, or show men beyond all the blindness of the mindscapes of all the rulers. Show them beyond every unclean spirit, every false doctrine that has blinded and divided our people. Revelation 16:12-21, when Messiah says, behold, I come. Also, my brothers and sisters, showing that there will, at that time, must come the destruction of a city with all its variant, confused misrepresentation of the Most High, to show the whole world the rebuke of the Most High against all every form of unrighteousness, to declare, surely, my brothers and sisters, the seal of the living Yah, the scripture says in Revelation 7, show what is, my brothers and sisters, the fullness of his word, that he would sign his name upon the minds and hearts of a people who seek the fullness of his law. My brothers and sisters, only in discerning this, who the early church knew Yeshua to be, is it possible to even begin to prepare for what is to come. For Messiah never gave his life to the multitude of contradictions. How about false oaths? Should be called viable unto the sanctity of the holy name and the sanctity and the security of the holy kingdom. What I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, when he said, go forth and teach all nations everything that he declared, baptize, it means purging purely of all misconceit, teaching everything that he declared. It means that a pure and perfect word is necessary, my brothers and sisters, an agreement, the gift of the Most High, an agreement, a law by which men must cooperate, must be the common understanding of all our people. We were told in advance that we should not become one after a multitude of variant differences, after the carnality or the short-sightedness of the fleshliness of man. We were told in advance in Corinthians, how about 2:16, we must have the mind of Yah, and that is to consider all things the Most High has declared. If there's still some strife and divisions among us, he said, if there's strife and divisions among us, we're still yet carnal, worldly, not functioning fully after the Spirit. We must understand, as I said before then, since man was created as an anointed being to follow after the will of the one Most High, to be guided as one after the will of the one Most High, is when man chose not to be guided and chose to follow after the designs of another, that he forsook the Spirit of the Most High as a teacher. Man must discern, my brothers and sisters, that the end result of having forsaken the guidance of the Most High, the guidance of his Spirit, the result of this has been so many contentious misimaginations. The result of this has been so many massive illusions against the will of one, that man, my brothers and sisters, seeking peace, would seek again, my brothers and sisters, the power of that anointing. Not that the world remain divided, but that the world, my brothers and sisters, again become one, which is why in the 14th chapter of Yohanan, Messiah said to those who would seek to guard and maintain his commandments, how about his authority as one, therefore bringing forth peace, all the world converted unto the will of one. Nations can't convert unto the will of one, each one preserving his own ways. So he said, my peace I give unto you. Yohanan 14:26-27 said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. In other words, the peace he gives according to the pure, perfect will of the one Most High, not after the multitude of variant worldly compromises the world would seek to exalt, thus compelling men not to seek the fullness of what the holy name requires. If you make an oath in the holy name, make an oath unto all that he declares. How shall we uphold, my brothers and sisters, what we have not yet understood, lest we prove that we are willing to seek all that is the will of Yah, that no one be dissuaded, and that everyone show genuine love for his brother, that we become a self-healing device after the power of Yah. In other words, everyone seeking the whole will of Yah, seeking to be to prove ourselves rational, that granted the opportunity to see beyond our differences, we accept his will. He said, wherever two or more you are gathered in his name, I said unto his, the fullness of his authority, there is he in the midst. Do what? As a counselor, my brothers and sisters, he's called Prince of Peace, wonderful counselor, inspired counselor, that there might be peace, a common understanding among all our people. But again, since we were told in advance what would be the contentious divisiveness, foolish self-pride and selfish ambition of our people divided after imperfect allegiances among the nations, it was already prophesied, my brothers and sisters, that in these last days, the Most High would show us the error of our ways. And I will tell you what the Most High told me just recently. After the last show, he said to me these words, "Now he is with us." Did you hear me, my brother? And says, I think it's a beautiful thing what I heard him say. Even now he is with us to end all our quarrels. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? He is with us to end all our quarrels. We were told in advance that there will be much contention among us for lack of knowledge, our people being destroyed or divided, confused, ensnared and entrapped under so much illusion for lack of knowledge, all falling short of the glory of Yah. That's the reason why the scripture said he would send Messiah, that those who believe him or shall believe in him shall be made again, as the scripture says, glad. How about, my brothers and sisters, blessed unto the will of one? Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that's willing to open his mind and heart? As the scripture said, he said, the spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek. Those who feel that they already know all they need to know, or want to believe that a multitude of contentious differences among us have been the peace that must come to pass. Our brothers and sisters, the scriptures tell us that this world has been far away from the way of peace and life for many generations. If we want to believe that after the partialities that we think we know, that we've already attained that before the time, remember the admonition of the Apostle Shaul, who said, if any among us destroys the temple, how about seeks to impede the fruition of the human soul? That one Yah will destroy. I've got news for you. Fatal flattery would do that. He said, the Apostle himself said, that no man consider himself so wise, and let's say wise beyond all the obstacles of hostility against the truth that exists in the world. He said, if you love me, keep guard. What must be his instructions? Must be those out to give alternate instructions to keep people from understanding the Most High as he is. What do you think 45,000 denominations dividing the world is when the earth belongs to the one Most High? Leaders divide the people against the perfect will of the Most High and tell them that everything is okay. So he said this to warn us against what many already understood was a hostile world. Understand, converting to Messiah, the truth of Messiah in the midst of a world, like I said, a priesthood in Israel appointed by Rome, and then Rome and all its various differences. Do you think they wanted to hear anything about one true king declared from the beginning? When quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, it's evident what the leaders in Israel did at the behest of Rome, seeking to maintain whatever authority they had for the time being. While Rome, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, when Constantine said such things as "I am a Christian," he was a liar. He was still out to preserve, as a Roman statesman, the ideals of Rome. So they just basically told people they were converted by calling upon the name of Messiah while still preserving all the pagan ways False imaginations of Rome. No conversion at all. Why do you think the scriptures say the Messiah must come in the last days to preach again the gospel, the one word that is high above all the nations, that all might convert, that men might save their lives? How about save their lives from my brothers and sisters, from all those who contradict the way of existence among all the nations? The question I ask, my brothers and sisters, since we know in advance that it was told to us what would be the contradictive injustices that have captured the minds of our people after the spells of the beastly nations. Misallegiances, my brothers and sisters, after those who had no intention to seek the full will of Yah. Even my brothers and sisters haven't been compelled amongst allegiances to mass contradictions. You can think about it. This is a pluralist society. My brothers and sisters, the Most High is too wise to lie. Whenever you seek to place in one being a cohabitation of totally opposed, juxtaposed ideas, my brothers and sisters, you're calling it a liar. You're calling, my brothers and sisters, the vessel that would compel, or let's just say would uphold, two entirely opposing ideas. You're saying that vessel is a lie. And in this case, my brothers and sisters, men are putting the holy name upon all the multitude of contradictions. Therefore, saying the Most High is a liar and is of the same fallen conscience that is the misimaginations and the frailties of the thinking of men. My brothers and sisters, anybody who can believe that cannot be a disciple unto the Most High, as was one who desires what is good to be called evil and what is evil to be called good. Think about it. This society has forgotten that hate began with turning against the one way of the one Most High. In ancient mind, good meant that which is pure, perfect, and complete after divine order. That very word, Lord, relates the idea about all that is divine order, all the precepts that bring forth life, synchronicity, symbiosis, and life. Well, men, my brothers and sisters, have dared to forget that the earth belongs to the Most High and He created it unto a purpose with a specific order, and man has to find his way in sync with that order if he wants to have life. He has to function with the creation of the Most High, not against. Man is created as a steward. I want you to think, but men have wanted to call it evil. When you talk about learning, man discerning again what is to be his discipline, that all things the Most High created function together as one. Why do you think the scripture says all creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of Yah? Talk about Romans 8. Because the universe waits for man to function again after the order of the Holy Spirit, the anointing after which he was given life. And my brother says, by that life, I mean the hope of eternal life. That man, again, my brothers and sisters, desires to find unity in the universe, all things working together according to the will of Yah, being granted that spirit might mature unto that fruition, and all things work as one in accord to the glory of Yah, to the honor of all that is his will. That was always purpose. He said he would grant that spirit, that guidance, to those who have no intent. Under the perfect will of the Most High? No. Book of Jacob said, if we're scattered among the nations, our patience and perseverance, our faith under faithfulness to the will of one, must bring forth a perfect, complete work. If we lack that discretion, he didn't say the rulers would teach it. He said we must seek the Most High beyond all doubt, beyond all debate, beyond all double-mindedness. See how those words, that DBT keeps coming back? My brothers and sisters, the Most High, we should understand from the Most High that a multitude of variant standards is not faith nor faithfulness, but unbelief. It's not steadfastness. It's not a surety that preserves the peace. The quarrel that exists among us so often because one somebody knows something the other person does not know, or maybe something that neither one of them knows. When the Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, in the name of the Most High, to fully honor and to observe and our brothers and sisters, how about to restore the fullness of all that has been missing in human conscience for many generations? Isaiah 50 says that he would come seeking all that is the will of Yah. But the scripture said, when he comes, why when he comes, was there no man, was there none that spoke and none to answer? In other words, none that discerns his higher word, because men have been so long, have been so far from these precepts, that when they hear them again, they count them as if they're invalid, simply because the rulers haven't spoken. Read Isaiah 28. Say, why when I came was there no man? Why was there none complete? Why was there none to answer? Why was there none to respect these words as solution? Because your leader didn't teach you what he should have taught you, my brothers and sisters. So Messiah, the scripture says, will come saying morning by morning as the Most High caused his ears to hear the teaching, not turning back the rebellious way, that he should know how to restrengthen his people who have been wearied after the pollutions, the misconceits of another, to prove all the leaders foolish, to put them all to shame. That's what scripture means. It says, make the heavens sackcloth their covering. It means those who sit on high and rule over this earth, to prove that the light that they seem to provide in the darkness of brothers and sisters is nothing before the rise, sudden rising of the sun. My brothers and sisters, it's time we understand what all these scriptures, these allegories mean. Read Isaiah 13 and understand what it means. They're talking about the powers of heaven shaken. Doesn't mean the Father's throne, my brothers and sisters. It means the rulers of the earth shaken from their high places. Stars falling from the sky. It means those who seem to be bright in the night, my brothers and sisters, paling in their seeming brilliance before the exceeding brilliance of the one who comes suddenly like the rising sun to reveal all the exceeding light of the Most High that for a long time men have not seen. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, are ready to prove? The Most High has told me there is a people that he has preserved, that he will bring to bear. They want to see us become that for which from the beginning we were intended. Blessed then, my brothers and sisters, are those who discerning, humbly willing to discern, being willing to discern all the Most High said concerning his blessed one, his elect. They granted the opportunity to see what has not for many generations has been seen. Will adopt the fullness of that truth and allow it, my brothers and sisters, to possess their very being, that they finally at last become whole. This is what the Most High has promised he would do. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who are willing to open their hearts, allow the Most High to teach us what for a long time has not been taught, and to purge us, my brothers and sisters, of so many suppositions that should never have been. That at last, my brothers and sisters, as a people, we again become one. As I've said before, I need to say it again. I said it earlier in the show. When the scripture says, ultimately the Messiah will come forth saying, or the one that comes as a herald before him comes saying, and say, comfort ye, O my people. Repent ye, O my people. My brothers and sisters, if we are to attain to the prize and the promise of a people made holy and consecrated unto all things the Most High declared, we must be willing to hearken to the promise the Most High has given us, he said, through him who he said he would send. 2,000 years ago, the scripture spoke of Messiah as the only begotten Son, meaning that in that time he was the only one mature through whom a world might learn again how to cooperate. The scripture says, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish. He did not say, my brothers and sisters, those who misrepresent. But him as he is, and my brothers and sisters, the Most High responds to the most sincere heart. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who discerning are receiving guidance from the Most High. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will not turn back. Yah has a great reward for those who take hold of the path and will seek it unto the fullness of its fruition. So given that consideration, my brothers and sisters, I look forward with hope to the Most High. Will begin to do, and he already has. He told me that a few weeks ago. That he has surely begun to work to bring to bear all the things that he spoke of old must be. And in light of that, I had something I wanted to say with the remaining time of the show. You know, to help explain this a little bit further, I think it's critical at this time, Passover, that we understand that it's, in a lot of respects, been something of a mistake on the part of our people. We oftentimes talk about what occurred of old to deliver our people, that we were delivered out of Egypt. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the prophecies for the renewal of a covenant relationship one day which come to pass. We no longer talk about so much about what was done before to deliver our people out of Egypt. Do you hear my brothers and sisters? But we'll speak about what the Most High has done in these last days to bring his people. Do you hear my brothers and sisters? To bring his people out from the midst of all the lands where they've been scattered. Jeremiah 3:16, it's come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land. That's talking about when he brings people back. Again, restoring a covenant. Because let me tell you something, the nations themselves don't have a covenant between one another except for to blind the minds against the perfect will of Yah. When he awakens his people beyond all misallegiances and all false kings and all false priests and all false prophets who will never tell the whole truth, the scripture says he would multiply and strengthen his people. Read Isaiah 9th chapter and understand. It's going to pass when you have when ye be multiplied, increasing the land, in those days, said the Most High, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Most High. Not saying the covenants and the law of the Most High has gone away. But my brothers and sisters, the ark of the covenant was something the people were to carry to remind them that there was a need for them to awaken to a full fruition of what it means to keep the commands of the Most High. The Most High said in the last days, he's going to write his laws upon the minds and hearts of his people, not just simply on tablets of stone. And the deliverance of our people, me, my brothers and sisters, is something more than something that they would carry, that they were not allowed to touch. My brothers and sisters, the day would come when the deliverance of our people, that all would come to one understanding, that we remain a nation true to the Most High, henceforth, even forever. We need to read Isaiah 59, 19 through 21 in particular. It says, he'll write his covenant upon the minds and hearts that remain in the mouths of our children, our children's and children's children's, henceforth, even forever, when he lifts up a standard against all that will stand against the full awakening of our people. So it comes to pass that when you are multiplied and increased in the land, Jeremiah 3:16, in those days, said the Most High, they shall say no more of the ark of the covenant, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that, in other words, that right with regard to the covenant be done anymore. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Most High, and all the nations shall be gathered to it for the name of the name. How about to the honor of the Most High? How about the fullness of all that is his command, his law written upon the heart? The order, my brothers and sisters, that brings peace fully, not just having the words, but knowing what they mean. And recognizing a reasoning allegiance to it all. Neither shall any more walk after the imagination of their evil heart. How about the quarrels that are amongst us and our different contentions and differing beliefs? Not always having heard from him, because the Most High didn't teach all these different concepts of his word, misrepresentations of his word. And say, in those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. All the tribes again one. And they shall come together out of the land of the north and to the land that I have given, land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. Remember, Israel split from the tribes of Judah and Levi and went to the north. And in Jeremiah's time, Jeremiah's time, it was talking about all the tribes, wherever they were scattered, when they went to the north and wherever they went, Wherever Israel and Judah were scattered off the land, one day they shall return together as one. Most High shall give in that day, my brothers and sisters, to the people of pleasant land. To himself he shall give a pleasant land as a goodly heritage. To the host of the Most High, to the glory of his name. It's time, my brothers and sisters, we understand that the Most High wants a people who will be true to him, that will not turn back from him ever again. I see a beautiful vision, my brothers and sisters. The Most High has shown me long ago what must be. Before I ever read these promises, he showed me what must be. So for me, reading them finally, yes, reading them finally and seeing them all there after the Most High showed it to me first, I know, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has a beautiful plan for our people. It's a beautiful thing when the Most High shows you his vision before you get a chance to read it from any other source. But I'm going to tell you what he told me. For all that you read, see, hear, anything else from men, best to check it out with them first. And that's a reason for that, my brothers and sisters. Yes, there's a reason for that. I want you to understand that there's been many times that the beauty of the vision the Most High gave to the minds of the apostles and prophets who wrote these words down. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's many times that Western polytheist mind, not discerning the true way of salvation, even thinking that salvation is a preservation of a multitude of varying confusions. There's a lot of ideas, my brothers and sisters, that existed in monotheist mind, looking for peace after the will of one. A lot of concepts there in that mindscape, my brothers and sisters, that expectation that existed in the Eastern monotheist mind that was not in the Western. So often, my brothers and sisters, the words that we find translated, because there's a predominating idea that wasn't fully concrete in the minds of the translators, they translated words or thoughts and concepts and words in the Aramaic that were not based upon initial foundation and expectation. And therefore, the translators, in so many ways, grossly erred. But my brothers and sisters, I'm thankful to the Most High. According to Isaiah 28, he would again show his people. That means men are going to have to receive again a spirit from the Most High, after which they discern and can see again the secrets that are contained in the words. Because when they translated many of these ideas into English, from the original word, and there was much lost in the translation. Scripture talks about the weakness of the law because of the weakness of the carnality of human mind. My brothers and sisters, the Most High by his Spirit can make these words more than just words on a printed page. He can show them to you as a vision to sense their intent. And there, my brothers and sisters, is the law, the order, the peace of the Most High unto people wrought again. Well, I got about 10 minutes left. The other day, I said I was going to talk about this a little bit, so I'm thankful for the time that is here, but might not get a chance to speak about it all, but I think I can, with the help of the Most High, bring together in the mind a lot of concepts that I think need to be given consideration, because a lot of folks have had curious thoughts as to what all the scriptures have to say about this one called Melchizedek. Well, I want you to think about it. There's a lot to be understood about what is said concerning this Melchizedek. Hebrews 7th chapter. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, there is so much that was expectation in the mind of the ancient Hebrews that revolves around what was said concerning this Melchizedek, and that Messiah would come as Son of the Most High after, as they say, to echo and to bring fully to manifestation what was the decree, as they said, order. The decree, or the ordinance, reflected ordinance of Melchizedek relative to things already said by the Most High with regard to what he said he would do to bless a world as one through the seed of Abraham. I want to read quickly what's written in Hebrews 7 and 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, is also called the king of Sodom. You need to keep that in mind. King of the area that was Sodom and Gomorrah. Priest of the Most High, who met Abraham, returned from the slaughter of the kings, he blessed Abraham. Or he said a word, a confirmation of a positivity concerning Abraham. You have to think about this. Melchizedek was called a righteous priest. A priest of the Most High. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, the priest of the Most High in the midst of Sodom? That what he would have desired more than anything else is a return of mankind to the conscience of his Creator. So when Abraham, who was being raised up to revive a genuine sense of covenant in the world with the Most High, certainly he would bless Abraham, whose seed would be used unto this blessed purpose. Hebrews 7:2, and he says, to whom Abraham gave a tenth of all, first being, in other words, the name Melchizedek being interpreted king of righteousness, after that, king of Salem. We're talking about a territory, my brothers and sisters. When they talk about Salem, remember, king of peace, which is king called king of peace. The territory, wow, Melchizedek was. Think about it. Abraham, Lot, that entire territory. We have to consider, my brothers and sisters, what that entire territory was. What kind of mentality and what kind of attitudes was in the area. So what I'm saying here is that Melchizedek was someone who was known as a priest of the Most High, but it's apparent that, well, let's just put it this way. It's apparent, my brothers and sisters, that all were not true to the one Most High. There's something else to be understood about this Melchizedek. He was of the people called the Jebusites. It's a known fact that the book of Zechariah talks about some who were Jebusites, in other words, other people from which Melchizedek came. There's something to be understood, my brothers and sisters, about this. I say king, the ruler, one who had influence. Hear me and discern what I'm talking about here. This Melchizedek must have been someone who desired righteousness before the Most High. He must have then, as a priest of the Most High, understood what Abraham's and his people's ultimate mission was to be. And the only way they could have and bring forth peace to the world, they also had to be one. It was an assurance that since Melchizedek met Abraham after the slaughter of the kings, that it was a foreshadowing, my brothers and sisters, of the conquering of all the enemies of peace. Psalms 110. The psalmist David said, the Lord said to my Lord, the Father said to his Son, then sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. For I have said, surely, and I shall not lie, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Wow. You go back and look at those scriptures very closely. It means that Abraham's seed will surely conquer every enemy. My brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about just the enemies in the world against the peace. Our brothers and sisters, that we, our other people, would be raised up against and even to overthrow every deceitful influence that stands against the awakening of our people. Isaiah in the 19th chapter, talks about the five cities, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Zoar, a five-city metroplex. It talks about the various dominant rulers. Must have been wicked kings. Melchizedek was a righteous one. And Melchizedek rejoiced in seeing those kings defeated. Like I said, look at Genesis 14, 1 through 5 and understand. It talks about in the last days a figurative five cities. In Isaiah 19, 18 through 25, it says in that city of confusion then, city of destruction, city of chaos, written in Isaiah, also in Isaiah 24, 10 through 16. Talks about Messiah, the righteous one, would appear in the last day. A savior who would deliver our people beyond all our oppressors. How about, my brothers and sisters, beyond all who, those who physically and mentally and spiritually oppress us against becoming fully what we must be? A lot to be understood about this, my brothers and sisters. If we understand the fullness of those prophecies, what we begin to understand is that when we read Hebrews 5th chapter, it says Messiah, who to become perfect, author of life everlasting to those who obey him. When it talks about, my brothers and sisters, him therefore becoming author of life everlasting, it's talking, my brothers and sisters, revealing again to mankind all that is necessary to see beyond all his contradictions, all his quarrels. We read those scriptures very, very closely from the 5th to the 6th, you know, overcoming every elementary or short-sighted word. People made perfect. 7th chapter talks about the promise that was reiterated through Melchizedek, a one who would conquer all the sin, all the divisions of our people, everything that stands against the full awakening of our people. Very, very powerful concept begins then to come to mind, my brothers and sisters. I know that the time is very short for this 90 show.
Seconds.
But I say that there's a serious need to examine Hebrews, really, to tell you the truth, from the 5th all the way out to the 12th chapter. Because I got news for you. All those scriptures are talking about Israel finally conquering all. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? All that stand against our people being made again one. Every misconceit that will stand against our people being made one. I want to say this real quickly because I know I started at it. The sons, or let's just say some of those who are of the people of Melchizedek, later became of the monks, the Jebusites, one who called the sons of Zadok, who were added to the priests of Israel. Look at Zechariah 9. There's a lot of prophecy in Zechariah 9 that is actually, a lot of it is beginning to appear right there in front of us right now today. But few of us see the signs. It's talking about, my brothers and sisters, that many of my brothers and sisters of those who seem might be contentious, might become like the Jebusites, joining with Israel in righteousness. My brothers and sisters, Israel is defeated when the people of all the nations begin to reason together and discern that the way of Yah is just and righteous according to all that he says and does. Wow, only 10 seconds left, my brothers and sisters. Till we speak again, this has been Eddie Meyer of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Unto his might, his honor, and his praise always, thank the Most High for all his promises. For he is now with his people, those who are ready to move with him, to help us see beyond all our quarrels. Blessed is he who comes to raise the minds and the conscience of our people, that again unto his will we might be one. Check out again, my brothers and sisters, my website, hiddengospel.com. Articles that are there. Prophetic Proof, Secret City, Tribulation 7365 AD. Discern, my brothers and sisters, with those words how you can echo a ministry that truly works for the healing of our people. For that is the purpose for which the Most High spoke, that I must speak to you these words to you. Till we speak again, this has been Eddie Meyer of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Unto his might, his honor, his praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again. Thank the Most High, my brothers and sisters, for opening the ears. And I thank you all again for listening. Yah seeks now to bring forth his promise. For in eradicating all
with the quarrels and contentions among us. He shall bring forth peace.
I don't
write the book on destiny.